Welcome to the Depth Dive. Today, we're diving into Ayn Rand
Oh, yeah.
and her philosophy. You sent over some of her writings on individualism,
Okay.
altruism, the role of intellect in society. We'll be looking at excerpts from some of her lectures and novels.
Sounds good.
See if her ideas hold up in the world today.
It's a big one. Ayn Rand's philosophy, it's definitely known for being fiercely individualistic and quite often controversial. So it will be interesting to see unpack her reasoning and see how it resonates or maybe clashes with modern life.
Maybe both, right?
Yeah.
So, why don't we start with Rand's view on the relationship between intellectuals and businessmen?
Interesting pairing.
Yeah, it's not one you
Yeah.
hear every day.
No, that's what makes Rand so intriguing. She sees both groups as rising stars of the Industrial Revolution,
Oh, okay.
a period she very clearly admires for the focus on innovation and achievement. She argues that before capitalism, societies were dominated by figures she calls witch doctors and tribal chiefs.
Okay, so people who ruled by dogma and force instead of logic and free exchange.
Yeah, exactly.
And according to Rand, both intellectuals and businessmen were empowered by capitalism's rise, but
Yes.
then something went wrong.
Exactly. She argues that intellectuals, instead of being champions of reason and individual achievement as she believed they should, took a very sharp turn and embraced altruism, the idea of self-sacrifice for the collective, and they failed to provide a rational moral framework for this new capitalist society.
So they abandoned the very system that allowed them to flourish.
Yes.
Yes.
That seems, it's counterintuitive, isn't it?
Very.
It's exactly Rand's point.
Yeah.
And to illustrate this perceived betrayal, she uses two very stark archetypes,
Okay.
the witch doctor and Attila.
Okay.
The witch doctor represents those who manipulate through
Right.
morality,
Yep.
demanding self-sacrifice, obedience,
Okay.
all in the name of the greater good,
Yeah.
while ignoring individual needs.
Yeah, I'm getting serious guilt trip vibes from the witch doctor.
For sure.
And what about Attila? Is he like the muscle to the witch doctor's manipulation?
Yeah, you could absolutely see it that way.
Okay.
Attila embodies brute force think dictators or warlords who just take what they want through power and leave destruction in their wake. And while these archetypes seem completely different, Rand argues that they're actually united in their opposition to the individual mind.
So one uses guilt and the other uses force,
Right.
but they both aim to control and limit individual freedom.
Precisely.
And I'm guessing that this ties into Rand's famous disdain for altruism.
Yes.
So she doesn't see any good in helping others.
It's not quite that simple.
Okay.
Rand believes that the problem isn't helping others inherently,
Okay.
but rather the demand for self-sacrifice
Yeah.
at the expense of individual values and goals.
Okay.
And she sees this demand as a very slippery slope, leading to the suppression of individual achievement and paving the way for collectivist ideologies that prioritize the group over the person.
So she's saying that altruism, when taken to an extreme,
Yes.
can actually become a tool for control and manipulation.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty bold claim.
It is.
But where do the businessmen fit into all of this? Wouldn't they be Rand's heroes?
Oh, yeah.
Like the builders, the
They
innovators?
are the creators, absolutely.
Okay.
But Rand argues that while businessmen generated incredible material wealth, they made a critical error.
Okay.
They didn't challenge the dominant intellectual and moral narratives of the time, essentially leaving the witch doctors to shape those ideas unopposed.
So they were winning on the practical front,
Yeah.
but losing the battle of ideas.
Yeah.
Like they built this amazing, efficient machine, but forgot to consider who would be at the controls.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And because of this oversight, businessmen, despite their successes,
Right.
became vulnerable to attacks from those promoting altruism and collectivist ideals.
Okay.
They had the resources,
Right.
but they lacked the philosophical framework.
Okay, so they needed more than just economic power. They
Yes.
needed intellectual firepower as well.
Precisely.
What did Rand propose as a solution?
Here's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
Rand calls for a new type of intellectual, someone who combines the mind of a thinker
What?
with the drive of a doer.
Okay.
She envisioned this fusion of the intellectual and the business person.
Wow, now that's a combination I wouldn't have expected.
Yeah.
She's calling for an intellectual revolution led by people who understand both ideas and action.
Exactly.
I'm starting to see where all this emphasis on individual power comes from.
Yes. This new intellectual would embrace reason, champion individual rights, and advocate for morality based on rational self-interest.
Okay.
All key tenets of Rand's philosophy.
Yeah.
They would be the ones to challenge those prevailing narratives and champion a new vision.
Okay.
For a society built on individual potential.
So it sounds like she's calling for a major paradigm shift.
Absolutely.
How does this ideal individual operate within her philosophy? What are the core characteristics that define them?
Well, one of the key elements is the concept of the self-sufficient ego.
Okay.
This doesn't mean being selfish in the traditional sense,
yeah,
but rather recognizing the inherent value of the individual,
okay,
and their right to pursue their own happiness and fulfillment without sacrificing their values or goals.
So it's more about self-reliance and living in accordance with one's own judgment than being egotistical or disregarding others.
Yes, precisely.
But how does Rand reconcile this with the need for social cooperation? Surely we can't exist in complete isolation.
That's a crucial question.
Yeah.
And it's one that Rand addresses very directly.
Okay.
While she fiercely advocates for individual autonomy.
Right.
She also recognizes the importance of voluntary interactions based on mutual benefit.
Yeah.
She believes that individuals should be free to cooperate and trade value for value.
Right.
But that this cooperation shouldn't come at the expense of individual freedom.
Okay.
Or be coerced through guilt or force.
Okay, so it's about finding a balance between individual freedom and responsible social engagement.
Precisely.
I'm starting to see how this ties into her criticisms of those she calls second-handers.
Yes.
People who seem to lack independent judgment,
yeah,
and rely on others for validation.
Exactly. Rand sees these individuals as living a diminished existence,
uh-huh,
constantly seeking approval and direction from others rather than forging their own path.
Okay.
And she contrasts them with her heroes, like Howard Roark in The Fountainhead,
right,
who remain true to their vision even when faced with opposition.
It's that unwavering commitment to one's own values,
yes,
and vision that seems to be at the heart of Rand's philosophy.
It is.
She doesn't just admire this trait. She sees it as essential for human flourishing.
Precisely. She believes that that independent spirit is the driving force behind creativity, innovation, and progress.
Mm-hmm.
And without it, individuals just become mere cogs in a machine.
Right.
Stifled by conformity and unable to reach their full potential.
And this is where her concept of evil comes into play, right?
Yes.
And it's not about villains and capes, but rather a specific type of thinking.
Yes. Rand's view of evil stems from the suppression of that individual potential.
Okay.
Particularly the willingness to sacrifice one's own judgment and values to appease others or conform to those societal pressures.
Okay.
And she emphasizes the power of saying no to those demands.
Right.
And standing firm in your own convictions.
It's interesting because this idea of the individual versus the collective plays out so dramatically,
yes,
in her novel Atlas Shrugged.
Absolutely.
Specifically with the concept of the mind going on strike.
Yes. That's a perfect example of, yeah, how Rand takes these philosophical ideas and weaves them,
yeah,
into compelling narratives.
Right. It's not just an abstract concept. It becomes this powerful story about the consequences of suppressing individual achievement.
Yes.
And the potential for those who create and innovate to withdraw their talents in protest.
Absolutely.
And speaking of unconventional ideas, we can't talk about Ayn Rand without discussing her unique perspective on money.
Oh, yes. Her view of money,
yeah,
is far from the traditional,
yeah,
money is the root of all evil,
right,
perspective.
So for her, it's not about greed or corruption.
Not at all.
What does money symbolize in her philosophy?
Money, for Rand, is a tool of exchange in a free society, allowing individuals to trade value for value without coercion.
Okay.
She argues that when money functions properly,
right,
it reflects the principles of individual effort and achievement.
So it's a symbol of individual productivity and voluntary, yeah, interaction rather, right, than something inherently evil.
Yes.
But what happens when the system breaks down? What are the consequences when money is no longer the primary medium of exchange?
That's when things get really interesting.
Okay.
And that's where we see the full force of Rand's argument against collectivism and the suppression of individual achievement. But let's dive into that after a quick break.
Okay.
When money loses its connection to individual effort,
yeah,
and becomes a tool for manipulation or redistribution,
right,
that's when Rand sees real danger.
Okay.
It's not money itself that's the problem, but how it can be misused
right.
to undermine individual freedom uh-huh. and incentivize dependence on the collective.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this connects back to her critique of altruism and those witch doctor figures.
Yeah.
It's about who controls the resources
yeah.
and how those resources are used,
right.
whether to empower individuals or to control them.
Absolutely. And in Atlas Shrugged, Rand portrays a world
yeah.
where the most productive individuals, the creators, the innovators,
mm.
ultimately decide they've had enough.
Okay.
They're tired of being exploited, seeing their efforts used to prop up a system
right.
that doesn't value them.
So they go on strike.
Yes.
Not in the traditional sense
what?
Of picketing and protesting,
no,
but by withdrawing their talents
yes.
and refusing to participate in a system that they see as fundamentally unjust.
Precisely. And this strike of the mind isn't just about economic power.
Okay.
It's about the essential role that individual creativity
uh-huh.
and innovation play in human progress.
Right.
And when those who generate value
yeah.
are no longer incentivized to contribute,
uh-huh.
the entire system begins to crumble.
It's a pretty radical idea.
It is.
But it highlights the potential consequences
yeah.
of taking individual achievement for granted.
Absolutely.
What's fascinating is how Rand connects this back to her concept of volitional consciousness.
Yes.
This idea that we have the power to choose to think or not.
Right. And that's where we get to the core of Rand's philosophy.
Okay.
The idea that humans are not simply products of their environment.
Right.
Or driven solely by instinct. We have the capacity for reason, for independent judgment, and
right.
for making moral choices.
Right.
And for Rand, it's this capacity that defines our humanity.
So it's not just about being smart or successful.
Right.
It's about actively engaging with the world.
Yes.
Using our minds to make choices and taking responsibility for those choices.
Exactly.
That sounds like a pretty high bar.
It is a high bar. And Rand doesn't shy away from that at all.
Right.
She argues that choosing not to think, to simply follow the crowd,
uh-huh.
or to blindly accept the dictates of others,
right.
is a form of moral abdication.
Oh, wow.
It's a betrayal of our potential as human beings.
This brings us back to those second-handers she criticizes.
Yes.
Those who seem to lack this independent spirit.
Right.
It's not just about their reliance on others.
Right.
It's about their unwillingness to think critically and make their own judgments.
Exactly. And this, for Rand,
yeah.
is where true evil resides.
Yeah.
Not in some external force, but in the choice to relinquish our capacity for reason and independent judgment.
It's interesting because this idea of volitional consciousness seems to have implications beyond just individual success or morality.
Yes.
It suggests a responsibility to engage with the world around us,
to
challenge, to think critically about the systems and structures that shape our lives.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that we're not simply passive passengers
right.
on this journey called life.
Mm-hmm.
We have the power to steer the ship. To chart our own course
yeah.
and to shape the world around us through our choices and our actions.
That's a pretty empowering message, even if you don't subscribe to all of Rand's views.
Absolutely.
It challenges us to take ownership of our lives and to contribute to the world in meaningful ways.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that makes Rand's philosophy so enduring,
yeah.
even decades after her death.
Right.
It speaks to a very deep human desire for autonomy, for purpose,
right.
and for the freedom to create and achieve.
But it also raises some challenging questions, right?
Of course.
Like, how do we reconcile this emphasis on individual achievement with the reality that we live in an interconnected world where collaboration and social responsibility are often essential?
That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
And it's one of the areas where Rand's philosophy is often debated and critiqued.
Right.
Her focus on individual autonomy can sometimes seem to downplay the importance of collective action.
Okay.
And the role of social structures in shaping our lives.
Right. And it makes me wonder how her ideas apply in a world facing complex challenges like
yeah.
climate change, economic inequality, political polarization.
Right.
Challenges that seem to demand collective solutions
yes.
rather than purely individualistic approaches.
Those are important questions to consider.
Yeah.
And while Rand certainly wouldn't advocate for sacrificing individual rights
right.
or suppressing initiative in the name of the collective,
right.
she does acknowledge the need for some level of cooperation and social order.
So it's about finding that balance.
Yes.
Preserving individual freedom.
Right.
While recognizing the importance of working together to address common challenges.
Absolutely. And I'm starting to see how her philosophy can spark some really interesting debates about the role of the individual in society.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here, from the relationship between intellectuals and businessmen to the dangers of unchecked altruism, the importance of individual achievement, and the power of volitional consciousness.
Right.
But there's one key concept we haven't explored in depth yet, Rand's view of selfishness.
Oh, yes.
It's a word with a lot of baggage.
It is.
And she definitely uses it in a provocative way.
Yes. Selfishness is perhaps the most misunderstood and often misrepresented aspect of Rand's philosophy.
Okay.
She reclaims the word, arguing that it's not about greed or disregard for others, but rather about living a life true to oneself and pursuing one's own happiness as a moral imperative.
That sounds almost radical.
It does, doesn't it?
The idea of prioritizing your own happiness as a moral obligation?
Yes.
How does that work in practice? Does it mean disregarding the needs of others or acting purely out of self-interest?
Not at all. For Rand, selfishness is about recognizing that each individual has their own life to live and that their own happiness is a worthy goal.
Okay.
It's about living a life of purpose, pursuing your values
and
achieving your full potential.
So it's not about being a jerk, as you mentioned earlier.
No.
It's about living authentically
and
taking responsibility for your own choices and actions.
Precisely. It's about being self-reliant, independent,
and
pursuing your goals with integrity and respect for the rights of others.
But how does this concept of selfishness fit into a world where we're constantly bombarded with messages about the importance of selflessness, compassion, and putting others first?
Yeah, it seems like she's going against the grain here.
Totally.
She absolutely is. And that's what makes her philosophy so challenging and thought-provoking.
Uh-huh.
She's asking us to reconsider our assumptions about morality.
Okay.
And to question whether self-sacrifice is always virtuous.
Right.
Especially when it comes at the expense of individual fulfillment and achievement.
It's almost like she's saying that by embracing our own individuality and striving for our own happiness, we actually contribute more to society than if we're constantly trying to please others.
Yes.
Or conform to societal expectations.
That's a key part of her argument.
Okay.
She believes that when individuals are free to pursue their passions and their talents, they create value not only for themselves, but for society as a whole.
Okay.
Think about the great innovators, the artists, the entrepreneurs throughout history.
Right.
They weren't driven by self-sacrifice. They were driven by a passion for their work and a desire to achieve something extraordinary.
That's an interesting point. It shifts the focus from self-denial to self-actualization.
Yeah.
The idea that by pursuing our own growth and fulfillment, we actually become more capable of contributing to the world in positive ways.
Exactly. And this brings us back to that idea of the new intellectual.
Yeah, right.
That Rand champions someone who embraces both thought and action, who values individual achievement, and who isn't afraid to challenge conventional wisdom.
Right.
It's a vision of the individual as a powerful force for positive change,
okay,
rather than simply a cog in a machine or a beneficiary of the collective.
So it's not just about withdrawing from society, as we see in Atlas Shrugged, but about actively engaging with the world, pursuing your passions, and creating value.
Precisely.
It's a much more proactive and empowering perspective than simply rejecting altruism or retreating into isolation.
Absolutely. And this is where Rand's philosophy could be both inspiring and challenging.
Okay.
It calls on us to embrace our individuality, to take ownership of our lives, and to contribute to the world in meaningful ways.
Yeah.
It's a philosophy that celebrates human potential.
Great.
And encourages us to strive for excellence.
Uh-huh.
Not out of duty or obligation, but out of a deep respect for ourselves and our capacity for achievement.
That's a powerful message.
It is.
But it also raises some difficult questions, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do we balance this pursuit of individual happiness with the needs of others, especially those who might be less fortunate?
Right.
Or who face systemic barriers to achieving their full potential.
That's a crucial point and one that we can't ignore.
Right.
While Rand's philosophy can be incredibly empowering.
Yeah.
It's important to consider how her ideas about individualism and self-reliance intersect with issues of social justice, inequality, and the responsibility we have to each other as members of a community.
Yeah.
And that's something we'll need to explore further as we continue this deep dive into Ayn Rand's complex and often controversial worldview.
Yeah. It feels like we're really getting to the heart of a lot of the tension and debate surrounding Rand's philosophy.
Yes, this idea of balancing individual ambition with social responsibility is definitely a key point of contention.
Right.
Some critics argue that Rand's emphasis on individualism can lead to a disregard for the common good.
Right.
And an erosion of empathy.
That's certainly a valid concern. But wasn't Rand writing during a time when collectivist ideologies, like communism, were seen as
absolutely
a major threat to individual freedom?
Yeah.
It seems like her historical context might have shaped her perspective a bit.
Yeah, that's a crucial point to consider.
Right.
Rand's experiences with totalitarian regimes deeply influenced her worldview.
Right.
She saw firsthand the dangers of suppressing individual rights in the name of the collective.
Yeah.
So her fierce defense of individualism was in many ways a reaction against the horrors she witnessed.
It's interesting how historical context can shape philosophical ideas. I'm wondering, though, if her ideas translate smoothly into our current world, where the challenges we face are often global in nature and require cooperation on a massive scale.
That's a question worth pondering.
Yeah.
Would Rand see the need for collective action
in
addressing issues like climate change or global pandemics?
Right.
Or would she argue that individual initiative and innovation are still the primary drivers of progress, even in the face of such complex challenges?
It's tough. I'm not sure there's an easy answer.
I don't think so.
But I think that's what makes exploring these ideas so fascinating. It's not about blindly agreeing or disagreeing with Rand, but rather using her work as a springboard for critical thinking about our own values and the role of the individual in society.
And that's the mark of a true intellectual.
Right.
The ability to engage with different perspectives, to challenge assumptions, and to arrive at your own conclusions.
Right.
Rand herself was a fierce advocate for independent thinking, even when it meant going against the grain.
It's funny, we often think of philosophy as this abstract academic pursuit.
Yeah.
But Rand's work seems to have a real urgency to it.
Oh, yeah.
A desire to connect these ideas to the real world and to challenge people to live more consciously and deliberately.
Yes. She wasn't content to just theorize. She wanted her ideas to make a difference in how people live their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of the reason why her work continues to resonate with so many people, even decades after her death.
Yeah, it's that call to action, isn't it? The idea that we have a responsibility to think for ourselves, to make choices that align with our values.
Absolutely.
And to strive for excellence in all that we do.
Exactly. And that's a message that transcends any specific political or philosophical ideology.
Right.
It's a message about personal empowerment, about taking ownership of your life, and about contributing to the world in meaningful ways.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Ayn Rand's philosophy, what are some key takeaways for our listeners? What should they be thinking about as they go back out into the world?
Well, I think one key takeaway is the importance of examining your own beliefs and values.
Okay.
Don't just accept what you've been told or what's popular at the moment.
Yeah.
Think critically about the world around you and decide what you truly believe.
That's great advice. And I think it connects back to Rand's emphasis on individual responsibility.
Yeah.
The idea that we have a choice in how we think and act.
Yes.
And that we're ultimately responsible for the choices that we make.
Exactly. And with that responsibility comes the freedom.
Right.
To create, to achieve, to make a difference in the world.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to embrace your individuality.
Right.
To pursue your passions.
Okay.
And to strive for excellence in all that you do.
I love that. It's a message of hope and empowerment, even in the face of complex challenges.
It is. And as Rand herself might say, the power to shape your destiny lies within you. Choose to think, choose to act, and choose to make a difference.
Wonderful. This has been an incredible deep dive, I feel like I've not only gained a deeper understanding of Ayn Rand's philosophy, but I've also been challenged to think more deeply about my own values.
That's great.
And how I want to live in the world.
That's fantastic to hear. Yeah. And remember, this is just the beginning.
Right.
The real journey starts when you take these ideas
yeah.
and apply them to your own life.
Absolutely. So to our listener, I'll leave you with this. If Ayn Rand were to analyze our current society, what do you think she would say? Which doctors and Attilus would she point to? And perhaps most importantly, where do you stand in all of this? Think about it and keep those brain cells firing. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.